31, it says, "Who can find a virtuous woman for a price as far above rubies?" You know, I'm just so thankful for my mom. And I know, you know, I put my mom through the ringer sometimes. You know, and I'm going to speak about that in the message and allude to some things in the message. But who can find a virtuous woman for a price as far above rubies? Mom, woman, whatever. When you find that lady that is a virtuous woman, there is no price tag to put on it. It says, "Strength and honor are her clothing, and she shall rejoice in time to come." And it says, "Her children rise up and call her blessed. Her husband and her praiseth her. Many daughters have done virtuously, but thou exceedest them all. Favor is deceitful and beauty is vain, but a woman that feareth the Lord shall be praised." A woman that fears the Lord shall be praised. Praise our mamas today that are in the house with you today and serving the Lord. Give them a hand clap of praise. Amen. Amen. Awesome. Well, we're gonna look in Galatians chapter 2, and we're gonna look at verses 11 and following in Galatians chapter 2 and verses 11 and following, and we're talking about God's grace and grace-centered community, and see what God has to say to your heart and my heart this morning. Galatians chapter 2. Verses 11 through 21. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Our Father and our God, I thank you that we can have fun in the house of God, that we can have fun, the Lord, celebrating our mamas and celebrating Mother's Day, the Lord. And God, I just think, God, I'm so thankful for my mom and Lord for raising me in a godly house and in a godly atmosphere. And God, I know that there's probably ladies in here today or guys in here today that, Father, maybe not have been raised up in a Christian home, but God, you spoke to them, and God, they're here today. And God, thank you for what you're doing in their lives. And God, maybe they're living a life of a legacy in front of their kids and their children and the folks, that their peers that they're surrounded with, Lord, that they can instill those qualities in them. God, we just thank you for what you're doing in the midst of us, Lord. And I know several people are traveling that are with their moms today and cookouts and things of that nature going on. God, I pray that you bless every one of the activities, the Lord, that it'd be a special day today, the Lord, that you can honor them. And I know, the Lord, that others have lost their mothers over this past year. And God, they're grieving in their spirit, the Lord. And God, I pray for them, the Lord, my wife included. God, it's first Mother's Day without her. And God, I pray that you will bless her and bless our family and others that have lost their loved ones. God, as it's a special time, that you'll just bless them, the Lord. And God, help us as we open up your word and as we speak the truth of your word, God, that we can apply it to our life. That, God, we don't only be hearers of your word, but doers of your word. God, may your word go forward. May it accomplish that which is pleasing and honoring to you. God, may we apply it to our life. May we be changed individuals, not the same as what we walked in here as, but renewed, refreshed, and revived, the Lord, and excited about you and what you're doing in our life. God, may you honor the reading of your word. May you bless the reading of your word. God, we give it to you. We pray your blessings upon it. We pray and ask these things in Jesus' name. And all God's people said,
Amen.
Amen. We're here in Galatians chapter 2 and verse 11 and following. It says, "But when Peter was come to Antioch, I withstood him to the face, because he was to be blamed. For before that certain came from James, he did eat with the Gentiles. But when they were come, he withdrew and separated himself, fearing them which were of circumcision. And the other Jews dissembled likewise with him, insomuch that Barnabas also carried away with their dissimulation. But when I saw that they walked not uprightly, according to the truth of the gospel, I said unto Peter before them all, If thou being a Jew livest after the manner of the Gentiles, and not as do the Jews, why compellest thou the Gentiles to live as do the Jews? We are who are Jews by nature, and not sinners of Gentiles, knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by the faith of Jesus Christ. Even we have believed in Jesus Christ, that we might be justified by the faith of Christ, and not by the works of the law. For by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified. But if while we seek to be justified by Christ, we ourselves are found sinners, is there therefore Christ the minister of sin? God forbid. For if I build again the things which I destroyed, I make myself a transgressor. For I, through the law, am dead to the law, that I might live unto God." Amen. "I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. I do not frustrate the grace of God, for if righteousness come by the law, then Christ is dead in vain. When I thought about this, and I thought about God's relationship and God's covenant that he has with us, preventing suffering from shifting the confidence that we have in the Lord. So many times we go through things. So many times we face things and trials, and things come up on us and stumble us and cause us to fall and things of that nature, or causes us to shift our confidence in what God is doing because of a various trial or something that we are facing that gets us sideways or sidetracks us, and we lose confidence. We lose our focus in the Lord. So if you're taking notes, number one, prevent suffering from shifting our confidence in the gospel. The gospel is true. The gospel remains. The gospel does not change. The gospel is God's word. There's nothing that changes in God's word. He is God, regardless of what you're going through or I'm going through or what you face or I face in life. It does not change the fact that God is God. Jesus is the Son. The Holy Ghost works, and the word of God is what it says it is, and it does not change the fact of what we're going through. Just because we might be facing something in life or going through a trial, it does not change that he is still King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and his word is still true today, and we can still preach it, abide upon it, and stand upon it, because his word is infallible and is going to accomplish that which is pleasing and honoring to him. Prevent suffering from shifting our confidence. Here we see the Christians were suffering at the hands of the unconverted Jews because of their connection to the Gentiles. We see that they were here and they were worried about that. They were suffering in the hands of them. And we sometimes wonder, is salvation really grace? We may ask suffering when we're suffering and ask the question, is God angry with me? Through our suffering and times that we go through, is God angry with me? Is there something that I've done that has angered God? We might ask ourselves that. Does God love me? I'm going through this and I'm suffering and this has happened to me. Does God love me? Am I really a Christian? With all this that's piling up on me, am I really a Christian? And that's the work of Satan, man. He wants to get in you, and he wants you to start questioning yourself, question what's going on in your life, and things of that nature. Does God really love me? Am I really a Christian? Is God angry with me? Oh, listen, in these times, we must hold on to the truth of the gospel. In these times, we must hold on to the truth of the gospel. Hold on to the gospel because it is true. It is the infallible word of God. In Romans chapter 8, when we look at these verses, I want you to look at them. Romans chapter 8 and verse 28 and following. It says this. It says, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to his purpose. It says, for whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called. And whom he called, them he also justified. And whom he justified, them he also glorified. What shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, what's happening? Who can be against us? He that spared not his own Son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall we not with him also freely give us all things? Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifieth. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather, that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, distress, persecution, famine, nakedness, peril, or sword? As it is written, for thy sake, we are killed all the day long. We are counted as sheep for slaughter. Nay, in all these things, we are more than what? Conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Oh, listen to me, knowing this, folks, listen. Christ died for us, he loved us, and because of this, he will sustain us through any trial that you and I will ever face. God will sustain us. Here, Here Paul was talking about, and Peter, they were talking about being shifting from confidence. They were under the attack of the Jews, the uncircumcised ones, and they were coming on them, and they were frustrating them, and they were losing lack of confidence. Today, things come against you and I. People come against you and I. They attack us, my friend. But understand what that scripture says. Even when that comes, nothing shall be able to separate us from the love of God. Amen. Nothing. And he said, if God be for us, who can be against us? If God's on your side, you don't got nothing to worry about. God will take care of your accuser. God will take care of those that persecute you. God will take care of those that rise up against you to try to start issues. My friend, you don't have to worry about it. You have victory in Jesus, and you can claim it today. He's going to take care of you. He's going to take care of you. You know, growing up as a child, I remember there are times that I'd done something and I would end up with a boo-boo. Whether it was playing football or whether it was playing baseball or wrestling and things of that nature. I remember, you know, you going down to catch a ball from baseball, and all of a sudden, right when it gets about a foot from you, that thing all of a sudden pops up and bounces up and hits you in the head, the face, or whatever. Them balls hurt. After you get hit once or twice, you lose confidence in baseball. And I don't want to play that thing no more. Playing this sport gives me stitches, gives me black eyes, gives me a broke nose or whatever. But what happens? You go running off the field to mommy. Go running to mommy.
Yeah.
And mommy's sitting up there in the bleachers. And you jump up in her lap.
That's right.
And mommy starts babying you, loving you. And it's amazing how the hurting boo-boo goes away. And mommy starts saying, you can do this. Get back out of there, boy. You're tough. Let's go. With mama on my side, I could run through that brick wall right there. You know, and gaining confidence for moms. You know, and stuff like that. And I always remember what it was riding a bike, and I could do some crazy things on the bike back then. And I can invent some of the things. I think that that Game X deal that's on TV where they do some crazy stuff with all that X Games, I think I've invented some of that stuff. Somebody stole it and making millions off of it by now. I should have done it and patented it or something. I don't know. But doing those things and getting hurt and all that. And I remember, you know, going home beat up, banged up, bruised up. And mom would be there. Dad would be there and they'd encourage you. It's okay. Get back out there and ride it. You're tough, man. Get up and shake it off and go. You know, and this is the same thing in the scripture. That Peter was being attacked. The Jews and the Gentiles and stuff like that was coming against them. They were shifting their confidence from the Lord. He says, no, this is what you need to do. Understand. Stay focused on the Lord. Don't be shaken. God's in control. And I remember those times, you know, of doing that. I remember my brother was with me sometimes. I'll never forget when I got hit over the head with the butt of a gun. And mom wasn't around and my brother was. And I was okay until he told me he couldn't get my head to stop bleeding. And then he calls my mom up at work and says, Mama, now be calm. Mama, I don't want you to get shook up. Mama, just take your time, but I need you to come home. I can't get Tim's head to stop bleeding. And don't tell her that he got hit over the head with a gun. She would really go crazy. Well, you know, come home, and I was okay until my brother told me he couldn't get my head to stop bleeding. And I was like, oh, you got to go, Mom. You know, I didn't feel no pain until that. Pouring blood and filled up two towels before she got home. You know, and went off and got my stitches and stitched me up. But after Mama got there, I was okay. Everything was fine. Confidence. You can have confidence in the Lord. Just as we have confidence in our loved ones, confidence in our mothers and our dads and things of that nature, God wants to instill that confidence in you. As I said earlier, you might have not had a good growing up as a family. You might have not have been able to experience these things of a godly mother or a godly father. But thank God they birthed you. And thank God you're here today and you can have an impact on the future tomorrow. You can have an impact on that. You don't have to go down those same trials and trails that you were raised up in. Make a change in your life to be different. Be different. and that you're going to live different. So we see here, they were prevented and their suffering was shifting of confidence in the gospel. But as I said, the gospel says, if God be for us, who can be against us? And God didn't give us the spirit of fear, of power, of love, and of a sound mind. Not only that, but when I think of these scriptures we read, it says, who shall separate us from the love of God? Nothing, my friends, can separate you from the love of God if your love is found in Christ Jesus. Nothing can separate you that. Number two, if you're taking notes, root out any hint of self-righteousness. When you look back at verse 15 and 16, it says this, we who are Jews by nature and not sinners of the Gentiles, knowing that a man is not justified by works of the law, but by faith of Jesus Christ. Even we have believed in Jesus Christ, that we might be justified by the faith of Christ and not by the works of the law. For by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified. Paul understood that one is made right only by the blood of Jesus. One is made right only by the shed blood of Jesus, only by God, not by works or ethnic groups, or it's not that mama and daddy were Christians and they were in church all their life and grandpa was a preacher, and because grandpa was a pastor and mom and dad were in church all their life and they helped to lay the foundation and build a church up, surely because of all the works they done, that's going to allow me to enter into God's presence. Not. Paul understood this. Paul understood it was only by the grace of God. Our righteousness is only by God and through God. When we ask Him to come in our heart to be our Lord and Savior, we are made righteous unto Him. And Paul understood that only righteousness comes from the Lord. And that's the only way it could come from. In Romans 9, 1 through 5. In Romans 9, 1 through 5, it says this. It says, I say the truth in what? In Christ. It says, I say the truth in Christ, I lie not. My conscience also bear me witness in the Holy Ghost that I have great heaviness and continued sorrow in my heart. For I could wish that myself were accursed from Christ for my brethren. Paul's concerned about his brothers and sisters and family. He said, I wish myself could be accursed for my brethren. He said, for my kinsmen, according to the flesh, who are Israelites, to whom pertaineth the adoption of the glory and the covenants, and the giving of the law, and the serving of God, and the promises, whose are the fathers in whom, as concerning the flesh of Christ came, who is over all, God blessed forever. Amen. Paul understood that the law cannot make anyone right. Paul understood that the law couldn't make a person righteous. Paul understood that. He understood that not being a Jew was going to get it. He understood that not being a Gentile wasn't going to get it. He understood that the only way that he would be made righteous was through the blood of the Lamb of God. Through Jesus was the only way that he could be righteous. The law could not make anyone right before God, nor was it intended to. Many times we do good works to make ourselves feel worthy. Good works to make us feel worthy, to bend God's arm, to bless us, and earn His favor. Oh, listen, our hearts love to boast in something other than the finished work of Christ. We need to boast in Jesus. Boast in what the finished work of the cross of Calvary tells us to do. Colossians 3, 22 through 25 says this. In Colossians 3, 22 through 25 says, servants, obey in all things your master, according to the flesh, not with eye service as men pleasers, but with singleness of heart, fearing God. And whatsoever you do, do it heartily, as to who? The Lord, and not unto what? Man, everything we do is to be focused on the Lord, knowing that our Lord shall receive the reward of the inheritance, for you serve the Lord Christ. But that doeth wrong shall receive for the wrong which he hath done, and there is no respect of person. I say it all the time, folks. It's not about me. It's not about you. It's all about the Lord. Everything we do in Christ should represent Christ. Everything we do in the Lord, everything we say, we are to be imitators of Christ. Everything we say and do should line up with what the Lord wants in our life. Everything we should say and do, as I've said it several times over the past few weeks, my friend, as when I read Psalms, do we have clean hands? Do we have a pure heart? Do we have a face that seeks the God of Jacob? Do we have that? Can we say that we have clean hands? Can we say that we have a pure heart? Can we say that we have a mind and a face that seeks the Lord? Can we say that everything we do and everything we say should be lining up with the will of God in our life? Should be lining up with what God desires to have in your life and my life? My friends, we need to walk the way that God intends for us to walk. He says, "Be ye holy, for I am holy." Be ye holy, for I am holy. My friend, we need to get back to living a holy and a righteous life. And if we did, it would have an impact on everything that we're around. It'd have an impact on our family. It'd have an impact at our jobs. It'd have an impact at our school, an impact at our church, impact in your neighborhood, your community, the state, the country. If we get back to living out God's morals and standards and what the Word of God tells us to do and live a life of holiness, purity, and righteousness before Him, my friend, would be amazing. There will be a revival that takes place like never before. Getting back to living a life of pleasing and serving the Lord. Everything we do should point to the Lord. Everything that we have should point to Him. Listen, God gave His all for you and me. Gave His all for us. And all He requires of us is what it says in Romans 12:1-2, that we present our bodies a living sacrifice unto Him. A living sacrifice back. Present our bodies to Him that He can use us for His honor and glory. Oh, not only that, not only do we need to root out any self-righteousness, root out those things that are not of God, and not do eye service and lip service, but do heart service, fearing God and trusting in Him. Not only that, but number three, seek to uphold the law. In verses 17 through 21, Paul's arguments in these verses is that while Christians cannot be justified by the law, they are not free from obeying the law. My friend, we can't be justified by the law, but we need to obey every word of the book. We need to obey every word of the book when it comes to the Lord. Though He is dead to the law in terms of justification, we are now alive to live for God in all things. Look at verse 19. It says, "For I through the law am dead to what? The law, that I might what? Live unto God." My friends, it's time that we live unto the Lord. Live unto God. Live for the Lord and live for God. Oh, it says, "I'm dead to that law, that I might live unto Him." Paul goes on and further argues for this by rehearsing how the gospel works in an individual's life. He died with Christ and now lives by faith in Him. Look back at verse 20. He says, "For I am crucified," what? "With Christ. Nevertheless," what? "I live. Yet not I, but Christ," what? "Liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God," who what? "Who loved me and gave Himself for me." Oh, he's saying, "I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God." That's what God wants to do in our lives, for us to live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved us and gave Himself for us. He tells us in 2 Peter 1:5-10, he says this, "And besides this, giving all diligence, add to your faith," what? "Virtue." And virtue, what? "Knowledge." And knowledge, what? Y'all didn't want to say that word. Self-control. Temperance. We all can use a little help in that arena, amen? That's the reason you didn't want to say temperance. Self-control, temperance, and to temperance what? Patience, and to patience what? Godliness, and godliness what? Brotherly kindness, and brotherly kindness what? Charity or love. And for these things, for if these things be where? If these things be in who?
You.
In me. You. Me. And abound, they make you. They make me. That you shall not be barren, nor unfruitful in knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But he that lacketh these things is what? Blind, and cannot see afar off, and hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. Wherefore, the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if you do these things, ye shall never fail. If you do these things, ye shall never fail.
Amen.
What areas of life are we abusing grace? What areas in our life are we abusing grace? What areas in our life, how important is it to you to be obedient to the call of God's word and the call of God's word in life, in your life? Are you making every effort today to obey the Lord? Oh, listen, has the gospel set you free? Because whom God sets free is free indeed.
Amen.
Whom God sets free is free indeed. Oh, listen to me. Listen to me as we read those verses of Scripture. It says, my friend, that God, there is nothing. Who shall separate us from the love of God? And it went on and said, shall death, shall life, principalities, angels, things present, any creature, height, depth, width. It went on to say that nothing can separate you from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus, our Lord. Nothing. My friend, are we putting our trust and our faith in the Lord? Where do we stand up? Where are we at with that? Where does our life line up with that at? Are we being obedient to follow God's word? Are we carrying out those things in life as he pointed out in the last verses I read? And Peter, and besides this, giving all diligence. Are we being diligent with what the Lord wants us to do? Are we being diligent with what God has called us to do? Are we being diligent to study his word? Are we being diligent to pray? Are we being diligent to be involved with what God has in store for us to do? Are we doing that? Do we have virtue? Do we have faith? Virtue, knowledge. To knowledge, temperance. To temperance, patience. To patience, godliness. Godliness, brotherly kindness. Brotherly kindness, charity or love. For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that you shall never be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. But if these things lack in you, these things is blind, you cannot see afar off, and have forgotten that you have purged from your sins. Wherefore, rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if you do these things, ye shall never fail. If you take these things, diligence, virtue, charity, love, brotherly kindness, patience, and you put these in your life, you can never go wrong. You can never go wrong. But without these, you probably can't see past your hand. You can't see past your hand because all you see is people's faults. All you see is people's impurities. All you see is people's imperfections. And sometimes that's all you want to see. But God wants you to see the bigger picture. God wants you to see he's a God of love. He's a God of mercy. He's a God of grace. And he's a God of a second chance. Because if he wasn't, I'd be dead a long time ago. Amen.